listening to Canada Now with Jeff Sammet on Canada Talks, Sirius XM 167.
I just told my team that props me up, Cassandra and Christian, that I think I'm going to give up brushing my teeth and just eat peppermint patties the rest of my life. I feel refreshed. I feel good. It was good. My dentist is thrilled. Just thrilled with that decision. Later on, we're going to talk about Scott Moe. He's going to be Saskatchewan's 15th premier. What won him the election and how will he do? Broadcaster and columnist John Gormley is going to join us later on in the hour. Has our approach to teaching kids about strangers been wrong? Well, Sarah Dimmerman's a psychologist, columnist, and author, and joins Canada Now. And Sarah, for seemingly ever, we have been taught and been teaching kids never to speak to strangers, but maybe that shouldn't always be the case.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
I think that we are, as we evolve as parents, we're probably more likely to be aware that there's no, it's not a flat-out don't talk to strangers, because I think it's important to differentiate between safe strangers and dangerous strangers. And, you know, I think when you think about it, you know, when your children are very, very little, you're with them all the time. So you don't worry about strangers quite as much because you never leave their side, or they never leave yours when you're out in the real world. But once they start going into preschool or if they go into kindergarten, that's the very first time that you are leaving them in another environment without you. And I think that, you know, we have to kind of analyze, what do we think about the world? Do we see it as a safe place or an unsafe place? And also, you know, when they're going into that room for the very first time, everybody there is a stranger. The teacher's a stranger, the friends, the new kids are all strangers. So you can imagine if you just instill the fear of God in a child to assume that you should never talk to a stranger, that would make them almost, I hate to use the word lightly, but almost mute, because they wouldn't talk to anybody.
Yeah.
Everybody's a stranger until you get to know them.
That's true. And, you know, I'm going through this right now, as we've talked about, Sarah, on a number of occasions. My kid going to school for the first time this year, he's four. And
right.
The way I've kind of navigated through all of this is saying, hey, Daddy is saying that this is a person you can talk to. So, you know, if I'm trusting this person and I like this person, then I would hope that you're going to do the same thing. And that's kind of how September looked like for me.
Yeah, so absolutely. So absolutely, when you're putting your child into an environment that they've never been in before, like a classroom situation, you know, I think your child automatically would generalize and assume that any time you're putting them someplace, you've checked it out and it's safe because you've warranted that it's safe. And so maybe, as you said, for the very first time, you're being very explicit about it, and you're saying, you know, this teacher might be a stranger right now, but she's a safe stranger because we know the school is safe and we've checked it out and we feel comfortable, otherwise we wouldn't put you here. And so so I think you start out that way, but then I think as time goes on and as your child gets older, you don't want to have to veto every single person they come into contact with, because, for example, I've been in an elevator, you know, and I've looked over at a child who's wearing a cute shirt or something, and I say, oh, that's such a cute shirt. And you can tell, you know, the children that have been told, don't talk to strangers, as opposed to the child realizing that if I'm talking to him or her, you know, while the parent is standing there, that it might be okay to say thank you or give me a smile because I'm not doing anything that's inappropriate. So I think we need to teach our children to kind of generalize. If you're with your mom or dad or a safe person that you can trust, and somebody else is talking to you and talking to that trusted adult, then you can pretty much assume that that person is safe. Now, having said that, you know, you also want to create boundaries. So you also don't want your child to be on the other side of the spectrum where they're jabbering away and telling them everything about themselves. But you want to, you know, you're modeling things too. So if you're out and you're talking to people that you've never met before, but you're recognizing that you're not going to tell them your whole life story, then your child is going to model that too, perhaps.
Yeah, and that's right. And there is a fine line and an education to that for a kid. But that's something that you can do for your kid. Like, take, for example, the parenting kid you saw in that elevator. after you guys had separated, that would have been a good opportunity for the parent to explain to their child, that stranger looked like someone that you could have been nice to, that you could have answered. This is the kind of information you could have said, or this is what you how you could have responded to that situation. But let's examine her. Let's see, talk about how she sounded, what she looked like. Would that be a person that you can trust if you were in a situation in which you needed to speak with a stranger?
Right, and I just want to jump in there to say that I wouldn't really focus on the look, because some people can look very safe and may not be. I think for me the biggest thing to point out to your child there is that adult was talking to you while I was there, which means that they were not talking inappropriately. But if you were walking home from school, maybe when you were a little bit older, and even when you're with a friend, and another adult stops and asks you, can you help me find my dog? It's lost. And that person may look very safe. They may look like a mom. They may look like, if you can't always count on the look.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more about the appropriateness of the situation.
Okay.
But I like the idea of using it as, my concern is that child probably would already have been told not to have anything to do with strangers, so the parent may not have used that as an opportunity, but since they're listening to this, they may change their minds. There's so many opportunities. I mean, when you're in the mall, for example, you could say to your young child, if ever you and I got separated, who do you think you could go to for help?
Right.
So typically we do say to our kids, you can go to another mom who's there with a child, which is, or a dad, somebody who appears like they're with other children and they're just hanging out in the mall. That would probably be a safe bet. But going into a store to ask somebody behind next to a cash register would be very safe too, because those people have been checked out, they've been hired by that store, they're more likely to be safe. You wouldn't want to get into that person's car or go home with them, of course, but going to them for help would be okay. Obviously, somebody in a security outfit or something like that. But again, I think it's about teaching children to trust their gut as well. So sometimes, a child may just not feel that things are safe, because I hate to say it, but there are people who may even dress up in security guard attire and may right. pretend to be somebody that they're not. So even then, I think in a mall it's pretty safe, but even then, a child needs to learn to trust, does this feel okay? Does this feel wrong? And I think if parents are, all their lives kind of deciding that for them, then they're not going to develop that sense of intuition.
Mm. And you presented a situation there, and adults need to remind kids that adults never seek the help of a child. That doesn't happen. So that would be an alarm bell right there.
Oh, absolutely. There are certain things like that can be taught to a child. That if a adult wants help, then they go to another adult for help. They definitely do not ask a child for help, especially if that child is alone. Well, whether or not the child is alone, they wouldn't ask a child for help.
This is a whole other can of worms, but what about dealing with strangers online?
Oh, well, that's so important, because I'm glad you've raised that, because I think we, the same situation as we assume that kids who are carrying cell phones are safe. That's not true, because a cell phone can be taken out of their hands so quickly. And also children assume that because they have the screen between themselves and the person on the other side, that there's a sense of security. But as we know, that's so easy when you have somebody's name, their full and their first and last name, you can search anybody up online and find out where they live. So teaching children never to give out personal information about their last name or their date of birth or where they live or even what school they go to. Even in terms of, I always discourage parents from putting any identifying information on children's clothing that's blatant, for example, like their last name on the back of a soccer shirt and then walking around in public, because even that. But just to go back to the internet, yes, I think that we have to teach children from a very young age that there's no safety behind a screen, and in fact, it's often more dangerous because you can't see the person and you can't get a sense of whether it feels right or wrong.
Mm. And I haven't experienced this yet because Sarah, my two kids are so small.
Right.
But parents having to monitor their child's online activity,
right.
Is it something you do all the time? I mean, obviously it depends on the age and how old the kid gets. But Well, what about the whole Big Brother thing as far as online activity? How much does a parent keep an eye on what the kid's doing online?
Well, when they're young, and that's by young I mean like, you know, younger than say 13, for example, or for as long as they'll let you, I think it's extremely important to not rely on parental controls per se, because even those that are set up online are not always that reliable, but to have kind of random checks. So not like I need to check your computer right now, but have some kind of an arrangement with your child that they know that part of the privilege of being on the internet is that from time to time you will want to see what they're on. You put the computer in a place in the house where you can walk by and see what's going on, as opposed to behind closed doors in a bedroom. And you hope that if you really teach your children how to think, not what to think, you know, while they're young, that they have it kind of under control by their time they're a little bit older, because by the time they're a little bit older, they know far more than what you do, and often everything is underground, and you don't, you know, you can put a parental control on, and they can find very clever ways to get beyond that.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, dealing and teaching and children as they're young, and really, like, we're one of the first generations of parents who are having to deal with technology as it is, and I think as time goes on, you know, parents will be more and more comfortable having been raised or brought up in it themselves. But absolutely, I think parents monitoring and checking up, I don't think it's a case of overstepping boundaries, but I think it's an important thing to be vigilant about.
HelpMeSarah.com, on Twitter, at HelpMeSarah. Check it out. Psychologist, columnist, author, parenting expert, Sarah Dimmerman. Sarah, as always, my friend, I really appreciate this. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Thanks, Sarah. Bye. As